Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
It's one of the last things a parent wants to encounter. A social worker at the door with allegations of child abuse. Surprisingly, such allegations can be based on little more than a gut feeling. We'll now continue our conversation with Philadelphia Councilman at Large David O. as we look at the 2018 foster care placements in Philadelphia. Highest rate among America's top 10 cities.
Yeah, and actually, I think over 85% of the children placed were not cases of alleged abuse.
Wow. That's
so, you know, it's a big problem, and let me further explain why this is a problem.
Okay.
If I tell you that you know, your tail light is broken, and if you want to pass the car inspection, you fix a tail light. That's what you do. You fix a tail light. I look at it, and we both know it's fixed, and you pass the inspection. If I tell you I have a funny feeling about your car, and you need to make some repairs and make sure it's clean and all that stuff. You know, you clean it, you bring it in, everything looks good to you, and I tell you, no, I don't think it's really road ready. Why don't you change this? Why don't you have this rebuilt? Why don't you take this apart? You keep doing it, and yet I'm never satisfied. I never tell you exactly what is the problem because I have a gut feeling. So if I don't identify to you why I think you're an unworthy parent, why I'm saving your children from you, why I took your four children, placed them in four separate foster homes where they don't see each other, where they don't really have a chance to communicate with you, where you can't really check up on them, I've never identified to you what that reason is. So I give you a number of tasks to do. You know, I want you to finish college. I want you to get a job. I want you to move out of your parents' home, you know, if you're 21 years old or 19 years old, or if you're, you know, a mature adult. I said, listen, you know, the person you're living with, your husband, your fiance, your boyfriend, whoever it is, they're a bad influence. There's bad things. If you really love your child, I want you to go live separately from him. You know, I start giving you a lot of things to do on this threat. Prove to me that you love your children enough to get them back, and I shall give them back to you. Now, you could do all those things, but you're not necessarily going to get your children back.
Yeah.
Because that gut feeling of mine may never go away.
Yeah.
What are the standards that these people are being held to?
Apparently
and how
not.
Corrupting?
Yeah.
How corrupting is it for some people? Listen, there are a lot of good social workers, a lot of good people in Child Protective Services and Department of Human Services, but for some people, the ability to tell someone what they can do. To parenting school, this, and that, never ending, is problematic because they are out of control. It is not due process. It's a violation of the Constitution, and it's a violation of your family.
Yeah.
And they have never identified to you. In fact, in the cases that I'm talking about, they've concluded you didn't do anything wrong. Yet, years later, you are jumping through hoops to try to get your children back.
Now, why? I mean, I'm sure the parents are asking the same thing, and you're asking the same thing. Like, why? If there's been nothing,
you know, it's a very, very difficult thing to try to identify. But one of the things that has finally kind of come to me, in other words, that I believe at this point in time, is that it has to do with money. It is a system that receives a lot of money, and in order to function, it needs to have children removed from families, placed into care, doctors who are then paid for medicating children. It needs a level of constant involvement by the people who work at DHS, and they get overtime, and they get incentives, and they get promotions based on how many children they're removing. In other words, as you said at the very beginning, this is based on a federal law that came into effect in 96-97, which basically incentivized and rewarded the removal of children from families. on the idea that it is better for the government to get involved just in case than it is to leave children with families. And there has been a change in the law, but we don't know if there's been a change in the practice. And that's the Families First Act, where they try to incentivize keeping families together.
Mm-hmm.
But this system now has been in existence since 97, and the people in it all believe that it's that this is the way you do things. I won't say everyone, but the system in general, the people who are at the leadership of these agencies believe these things. And it's interesting what they believe in. We are a very divided country at this point in time. Some people believe in policing. Some people believe in strong policing.
Some people believe in reforming the police. Yeah.
But listen, some people believe in dismantling the police.
Right.
People believe in defunding police. You know, I'm not saying anybody is a bad person or, you know, let's start with this. They have different ideas. So there are some people who believe that even though there are some bad parents, that basically parents should be the ones in charge of their children, what's in their best interest. Other people believe that the government should be in charge because parents are not a trustworthy group of people.
And that was I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was Hillary Clinton's thing, that children should be raised by the village.
Yes, when I heard it, I mean, it's a great saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Right,
it's a good saying, like the community, neighborhood, the church, the school. But on another level, saying that, hey, you, the parent, you're not the one to raise your children. The government will raise your children. We will check on them. We will feed them. We will educate them. We don't want you giving them your ideas, your bad ideas. But the thing is, the government always does, not always, but so many times, does a far worse job.
When it
says it's going to do a better job, it's just worse.
Yeah.
And it has been borne out in the data that children who are put into foster care, in general, fare far worse than being left at home.
Yeah. Do you think that's part of the problem? I mean, we see more and more violence. Youth involved in violence
Clearly what we see, and there's a lot of reasons for the rise in violence, but one of the contributing factors, violence, is who have a lot of pain and resentment. It is irreparable in cases. You know, first of all, a child removed from their home, removed from their community, removed from their church, their religious institutions, their schools, right? They oftentimes end up being resentful of their parents, not the government, the parents.
Well, they probably blame their parents.
Right? The parents were not strong enough, smart enough, capable enough, or didn't love them enough to keep them, to fight for them, to protect them. And many times they got abused, physically, sexually abused. And then from there, they have anger issues. They have anger management issues. They are immature. They ultimately, in many cases, are, removed from this process of government care when they hit 18. And many of them are, poorly educated. They weren't properly disciplined, they weren't cared for, they didn't feel loved, and they're on the street.
So
that is a contributing factor. It's not the only factor, but it is a contributing factor to wanton violence. People who will do things that are just not even logical. You couldn't even understand it from a criminal perspective, just the level of violence that is involved.
So Philadelphia seems to have finally perhaps awakened to the detrimental effect the DHS policy has had on families. And they actually, I believe it was last September, that you and Councilwoman Cindy Bass were named as co-chairs of Council's Special Committee on Child Separation in Philadelphia. What are the goals of this Special Committee?
So the goals of the Special Committee is to examine whether or not DHS is complying with state law.
Okay.
And that's kind of the most fundamental problem. If the government is violating the law, then we have got a big problem.
Right.
And many of the issues that we've been talking about will be resolved if the government will simply obey the law.
Yeah.
Now, what we can't do is we can only make recommendations. We cannot solve the problem. As a legislative body, we only can make recommendations. And so what we do is we look at the situation, we hear, take testimony, we hear from experts, and then we make recommendations to DHS and to the mayor and to the city of Philadelphia. They don't have to follow our recommendations, so that creates another
issue.
Problem.
Yeah.
What we are doing is we're taking our recommendations to Harrisburg.
Okay, good.
To try to pursue changes in state law.
Good.
And that's where changes can occur.
Good. How is Mayor Kenney responding to, has he had any say or any thoughts on the formation of the committee, the special committee?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think, to be honest, there was great resistance.
Oh, wow.
You know, obviously from the governmental entity, DHS, and obviously from the administration.
Yeah.
And from many of the council members. They did not want to form this committee.
Wow.
However, there was a very strong and passionate cry from the mothers, mostly the mothers, grandmothers, and others. And, you know, it started to get a level of media attention. And therefore, after denying the creation of this special committee, they approved the creation of the special committee.
Wow.
So I think the truth of the matter is that how they've been able to do this is by really taking kids away from vulnerable people.
Mm-hmm.
They size them up as vulnerable. They take the kids.
Yeah.
And then the people who lost their kids, you know, because they're vulnerable, meaning that they may not be well-educated, they may have had some criminal history, you know, they may be unemployed.
Right, yeah.
Don't have the money to hire a lawyer, all those type of things. What happens is because they've been easily targeted, they have less ability to fight the system. And then, I think very importantly, they feel ashamed that, you know, they feel isolated, that, you know, I've been accused of hurting my children.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want their neighbors to know. They don't want people to know. They'll be ostracized, you know, lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep it a secret. And what we've been able to do is to put out into the public that there's a lot of people like you, and they did not abuse their children. In fact, the government said they didn't abuse their children, but they lost their children. So that has encouraged, you know, parents to step forward, gather with each other, and to start, you know, now speaking out against these practices, and now that they have a governmental entity, City Council Special Committee, saying, yeah, we're looking into it because these are wrong things that have been done.
But it's almost like kidnapping.
Governmental approved kidnapping, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I believe that. And listen, I have brought it to the attention of law enforcement, and I brought it to the attention of our top law enforcement and political representatives with very little response, and I would say with a real avoidance. And I think this is going to come back to bite them in the butt.
Hopefully.
You know, this is just something that they don't think people care about or notice or things like that. But how will you run for governor? How will you run for U.S. senator when you, being a person who is supposed to be, you know, investigating and being responsible for these things, has avoided it. You know, with the evidence that children are being abused, harmed, sexually violated, how do you let this continue?
Yeah. You know, they're taken out of a situation that the government has deemed as dangerous and put into, in some cases, into a dangerous foster care situation. So
The truth of the matter is they've taken them from good homes.
Yeah.
Now listen, they must remove children from dangerous situations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in these cases that we're talking about, which are many, they've removed children from perfectly good homes with no evidence of any wrongdoing, with evidence that the parents are doing a good job, the children are happy, and that they are happy with their brothers and sister, and then they've isolated them where they're the only, they're on their own in a house, and their brothers and sisters are not with them. They're not even in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Sometimes not even the same county.
Well, oh, my goodness. It's even worse. Yeah, looking back at the 2018 figures, you know, there are 5,500 cases of suspected child abuse. 2,700 children were placed in foster care that year. But I'm looking at the numbers. It says of that 2,700, only 1,000 reports of neglect or abuse were actually substantiated. Yet 2,700 children were placed in foster care in Philadelphia in 2018.
I mean, that really would be very... very suspect of that, you know, number of confirmed child abuse. You know, in a system where, you know, they take children even when the evidence is there's no abuse, and they continue to keep those children for years and years and eventually put them up for adoption.
Oh, my goodness.
I would really doubt.
Even down to
1,000. You'd have to prove to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they say confirmed child abuse, I'd have to see the evidence.
Okay, wow. And that is, I mean, it's frustrating. I know it is for you who are right there in Philadelphia. It's frustrating for me on the other side of the state just to know that this is happening, not only in Philadelphia, but not only across Pennsylvania.
Other parts of Pennsylvania, all across our country.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so disruptive, so mean, I guess is a good word, of the government.
The harm is terrible.
Yeah. Absolutely. So children and families to loving parents that are being ignored, that are being accused of things they have not done. And as you're saying, if there's a argument between husband or ex-husband, ex-wife or ex-boyfriend or whatever, and they're using their children as the means at getting back at or getting revenge back at the other person that they're upset with. That, and then the government's being a party to all that, is just infuriating to me. And I know it's just very frustrating for you. But, you know, I appreciate your work there in Philadelphia. You know, I heard some of those stories at the news conference and the rally that was held in Harrisburg back in September 2019, I think it was.
Right.
Where you spoke there at the media center there. And it's just very... It's still going on, unfortunately, all these years later, and parents still are without their kids. And is there any time limit as far as a special committee? Is it limited to you only have a year to figure out what to do or make the recommendations? Is there a time limit?
Yeah, there is a time limit, although it's not like a time limit where things must absolutely end. Like,
okay.
We basically have a year, but COVID interrupted that.
Right.
And so, because things are remote and it's still difficult to get things done under COVID situation, and by the way, the riots and the murders and everything else, and the unemployment and the shutting down of the economy and everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's taken us longer than I wanted, but I hope that we wrap this up this year and make our recommendations and then move to basically advocacy, you know, going to try to get something from, you know, changes from the governor, changes from people who are running for governor, changes from our legislature, and really rallying the people in this city and across our state to, you know, to be empowered to demand these changes. And the changes we're talking about is that institutions and agencies follow the law.
Yeah.
Stop violating the law.
Stop just going by your gut feelings.
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy. I know you have to run, so I really appreciate the time you've taken to be with us.
Thank you very much.
And that you're involved in this. I know the parents there in Philadelphia are finally saying someone finally cares. I mean, because the message that they've gotten from the government to this point is like, you people over there, you don't count. We can do what the government can do whatever we want.
Right.
And they've not had an ear, and I appreciate you being that ear for them. And, you know, having this special committee put together, you and Councilwoman Bass, that's great.
Yes.
That and this is a bipartisan issue. It's not just a Democrat or Republican issue. It's a bipartisan issue, and that's what we need in this country. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.